welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Bless you, ma'am. Youngster, the Lord bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I want to thank God for allowing my wife and I to get here and to be a part of this experience. I wanted to stand. Eunice, you didn't slip out on me, did you, girl? Where is she? Just there she is. And I want to thank God for your wonderful deacon. He came to the office back there, and he didn't have to tell me. I remembered him vaguely. When you get my age, everything is vague when you go back. Remembered him vaguely, but when he walked in, I said, that's the chairman. He has the aura about him, the distinction about him. Got the smile on his face. Look at him. The Lord bless you, sir. And we pray that God will give you all that you need to provide leadership for this congregation. And you need more than anything else, anyone else, is the Holy Spirit. These wonderful ministers you have, I'm impressed already by them. Where's that chairman of the trustees? Is she here? Where? Oh, there you are. Always, trustees got to be as spiritual as, no question about it. God bless you. And right up front, God bless you. To all of the officers and these wonderful ministers here, Reverend Pyfram and Minister Richardson, the hospitality is just superb. Just superb. Thank you. That drummer is something else. And that girl behind that. She's something else. And I need to let her know that these young preachers like to have, while they're preaching, they like to have that music to they tune in with. You don't have to do that for me. You'll be out there playing by yourself. God bless you. We just have to make it clear. Yeah. Thank you for singing. And those dancers, oh my God. What can you say? Great. Wonderful. I want you to pray for me. My name is Gus Roman. I'm from Louisiana, but I've been up here for some time. And I'm retired. But I'm not tired. I'm hopping, but I'm not stopping. Bow your heads with me, please. I've learned Lord, a long time ago, that I can't do this without you. You called me to do it. You gave me the anointing of your Spirit. And I rely on Him. I have studied and meditated. But this is the time for it all to come to fruition. So, Holy Spirit, in the name of Christ, give to these your children what you want them to have in this declaration. In the name of Christ, amen. There's a scripture, there are several scriptures about resurrection and several stories about it, narratives about resurrection. You have one in your bulletin, and each gospel writer, of course, has a story about resurrection. The Apostle Paul told us, he said, if you don't have in your thinking, in your theology, your understanding of faith, resurrection, then you're still in your sins. Because you cannot have a crucified Messiah without a resurrection. And something's wrong with that gospel that talks about a crucified Christ and have no understanding of the risen Christ. You're quite. And it ought to be, listen to me, young man over there, not just a thought, but this is the kind of awareness you have to live with, that He's risen. He's not just a Sunday song once a year. It has to be lived out. You have to walk in resurrection with that awareness that Christ is risen. Yeah, I like what I feel from you. This scripture that I'm using is found in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And it's a long passage, but let me read it in my stubborn way. It's 18 verses. It's the whole story I want to read about a young girl, a young woman by the name of Mary Magdalene. This morning, it's her story that I want to talk with you about and what that story means. The disciples play a role in it. The fellas play a role in it. But the person the focus is on, sir, is that girl, Mary Magdalene. Yeah. We'll talk about the disciples at 11 o'clock. We'll finish chapter 20 at 11 o'clock. You will have gone and prepared for the duck or the turkey, whatever it is. But it's dubbed from where I'm from, anyway. The first day of the week, listen to this. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Are you with me? Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre, came to the tomb. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. I can't run with these young boys. But they're not going to go in until I get there. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. That's that youngster, that's John. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and said, he saw and believed. That youngster saw and he believed. That older fella, watch yourself. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, oh, listen to this, Mary. 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 She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not. I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren. You go to my brethren. Go to my brethren. You, Mary, go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her. I hope that wasn't boring to you. I think we need to get the word clear and straight. That's the Mary story. And the subject that I have is weeping at the empty tomb. Some of us are weeping. Some of us are weeping this Resurrection Sunday. Our pillows are wet. We worry about that girl who left home. We haven't heard from her in some time. And that boy who left, last thing I heard from him, he was messing his life up. We weep. Resurrection Sunday doesn't mean for many of us what it ought to mean. It's just, sir, a holiday. A day when I can dress up and be sharp. It was Voltaire, sir, listen to this. It was Voltaire, the French revolutionary thinker, who said, I don't care for Christianity. And I think if we can get rid of Christianity, it would be a good thing. There's a lot of crazy folks back then in the French Revolution. But they're still crazy. Yeah. He said, if we can get rid of these holy days and turn them into holidays, we can get rid of a lot of the juice and the power that is in these holy days. So be careful about your attitude, our attitude, towards holy days, that they do not become holidays. Weeping. You ain't got no business weeping. Mary, what are you doing? Reverend Roman, I'm stuck. I'm just stuck. I was a woman with seven demons. I didn't have one or two. I had seven demons, and I met him. I was tormented day after day, night. I had no rest. And I met him. And in his busy schedule, because everybody wanted to see him. But he saw the agony and the pain and the bondage and the captivity that I was in, and he stopped and pulled out of me seven demons. I sang, I'm free. And he's the one who freed me. And Brother Roman, you don't mind if I call you Brother Roman? Of course. It's all right, Mary. Call me. Call me Gus Roman if you want to. But tell me your story. Wherever he went, along with a few other women. You know, we were in a society that didn't put women in certain positions. So the disciples were the ones who publicly they were close to him. But we were the ones who took care of him. He didn't want for anything. I had Joanna with me. I had Susanna with me. I had the other Mary with me. We took good care of Jesus. He meant so much to me. And I listen in to his lessons, his sermons. I saw the miracles that he performed. Yes, yes, Roman, I saw all of that. And I was just so close to him. I don't know how the other woman, but I know how close I was. I was not in the Garden of Gethsemane. I heard about what happened there, but if I had been there, I would have been the first to die. Because I love me some Jesus. And Brother Nix, when they crucified him, I was nearby. Oh, I shed buckets of tears. I love me some Jesus. I cried. That's the man who took time out to teach me a woman of the streets, a woman who was possessed by seven demons, no good, wicked, ugly, low-down demons. They were working havoc with my life. They would kick me around and do all kinds of crazy stuff with me, made me do a lot of stupid things. But he got those demons out. Yeah. And they crucified him. And Joseph of Arimathea gave his tomb, the sepulcher, for his burial. And I came here, and I'm just stuck. It was rough for me to get here, to come here, because I was scared. I was scared because I know that some of them saw me with him. And these crazy folks who didn't like him, they would do anything to those who would be close to him. So it took, listen to me, ma'am, it took courage for Mary to go to that sepulcher. It took courage, it took guts. She didn't have an army with her. No, sir. She didn't have Mike Tyson with her, with a blow, or a Joe Louis if you're old school. No, sir. She went by herself. She went there. Not afraid. And when she got there, she saw an empty tomb. The stone was rolled away. You say, why they gotta do this? They crucified him. I was around and heard what Pilate did, how he made a mockery of justice and washed his hand. Now, they won't let him be peaceful and sleep in the tomb. I mean, demons can be mighty mean. They spit on your grave. Some folks think so badly of some people that after they die, they go to the graveyard and find them and spit on their grave and cuss the tombstone out. Yeah. How can they do that to that man, Jesus? All the good he did, all the lessons he taught and all of that, and all the people he healed, and the poor people he fed. How can they do that to him? Yes, he was. The stone moved away. Empty tomb, and Mary is crying. Shedding tears. Hey, shedding tears. Watch this, youngster. Shedding tears. Listen to this. Shedding tears because she did not make the connection between the reality that she was a part of and the lessons that he taught. You got that. I see I got a student over here. I got a student right here. I can look in your eyes and I can tell that you are a serious student in the Word of God. You cannot listen to me, youngster. You cannot divorce your experience of pain from the teaching of Christ. Devil will mess you up. But sometimes when you're hurt, you forget. Sometimes when you've had trauma in your life, you forget. You forget. But it would have been good if she had made the connection. Say the tomb is empty because he said it would be empty. But when you're hurting, am I right about this? You forget a lot of things, don't you? Because all you can think about is your pain. Is your pain. They call it trauma. She was traumatized. You say, well, better find out. Better get somebody to get some answers for me. Yeah. Peter and John, here they come. Young boy beat him to the tomb. But he didn't go in until the old boy came. That's a lesson right there, Brother Nick. I mean, these youngsters, I know you can run, but you don't have the psychological and the spiritual makeup to go in. You're not going to go in. You're going to win. You're going to be Jesse Owens running. You're going to run and run. You're going to get there before I get there. But your inside stuff, your experience will not, your maturity will not allow you to go in. You'll have to wait on Brother Nix. Are you with me? They got in there, they went in there and looked, and so everything was just folded neatly, the linen and the cloth around the head. And the youngster believed. He said, oh, yeah, this is it. The old man was caught up in tradition. And the young man didn't say a word. That's a sermon for another day. Here we come. They leave. The brothers left. Mary stayed. The brothers left. Spent a few minutes in there. Yeah. Bye. Isn't that right? Bye. Then the Bible says they went home. But what? Mary stayed. Mary stayed, I tell you. All hell will break loose. All hell will break loose. And Peter and John will run. But Mary will stay. Yes, she will. She will. You left me with five children. I don't know what you saw out there that got your fancy. I don't know what it was that whispered in your ear, I love you. And you left. If you left just me, but you left your children too. I will not leave, Mary said. I'm going to stay right here. It's painful to stay here. I got questions I don't have answers to. I called on Peter and John, and they could not help me. I don't have any answers, but I'm staying right here. Listen. While she stood there, she said, let me take a look on the inside. Nix, listen to this. Mary stayed. And she went in. She went in. She wasn't the first to go in. But she saw and heard what the other two didn't see, didn't hear. Oh my God, Sister Pelsa, listen to this. There is something about waiting for Jesus. Listen to me. Peter and John could not give any further clarity to her dilemma, but she waited because deep down within, she knew that there was something. Can't figure it out. But there is something, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to look in. And when she looked in, you know what she saw? Not only what Peter and John saw, but I told you don't do that. I did not tell her don't do that. And you got disobedient for a minute. I don't know if you got happy or what. But hold up, honey, hold up. She waited and she saw two angels. The other guys didn't see that. And I think Nix, they didn't see it because they didn't have the courage to wait. They didn't have the power to wait. They didn't have the common sense to wait. But Mary waited. And she saw two angels. And she heard them speak. Why, woman? Woman, I don't know your name, but woman. Why are you here? What are you seeking? What are you seeking? She still couldn't figure it out. And listen, it's, oh God. I'm going to have to finish this another day. Listen to this. She still couldn't figure it out because I came here about Jesus. And I don't need any angels. I like the archangels and the seraphims. Y'all are nice folks, and God use you. But my soul, with what I've been through and what I gotta go through with all these crazy folks in this world, I don't need an angel. It's nice to have you around. I'm sure you got a message for me, but I got to see Jesus. Don't tell me about Michael. Don't tell me about Seraphel. Don't tell me about Gabriel. Don't tell me about any of them. I didn't come here looking for them. I came here with a concern about Jesus. Where is he? Now that's what you got to want. That's what you got to desire. This Resurrection Sunday, this crazy world with the presidents and all these other crazy folks in the Congress and all of that, you ain't looking for them. You're looking for Jesus. When he makes his move, you got real movement. Watch this. Somebody is standing behind her. She backs out. She senses a presence. It was Jesus, and she didn't realize it. Listen to me. Sometimes the risen Christ is right. Do I have a witness here? Listen to me, boy. You've been going through all of that and whatever, but sometimes he's right there by your side. And you take him for somebody else. But that's the God Almighty. That's the risen Christ. And she took him for the gardener, the caretaker for the cemetery. That's who she thought was right there next to her. And a whole lot of times while you're walking the street with your head down, thinking that you ain't got a friend in the world, singing your old song, sometime I feel like a motherless child. And right beside you, walking right with you, sometimes talking like those fellas to Emmaus. You know the story, man. Those guys left Jerusalem and went to Emmaus, and they were wondering it all mixed up about Christ being crucified. And then all at once, somebody joined them. And all at once, somebody what? Joined them. And all at once, while you're worried, while you're shedding tears, while you're about to give up, somebody right by your side. He's not the gardener. He's not the caretaker. He's not a stranger. But he is the Lord who's walking by your side. He walks with me. He talks to me. He tells me I am his own. And the joy we have. Yeah, she didn't know. She didn't know. Where did you put the body of my Lord. Mary, that just doesn't sound right. Talking about the body of your Lord. The Lord? You worried about the Lord? If he's Lord. Why are you crying for the Lord? I mean, that's a contradiction, right, Doc? It's diametrically opposed, right, Doc? If he's Lord, why are you worried about who's going to hurt him? He can take care himself. He said, I can call right now and get legions of angels to take care of my case. I'm Lord. I got the power. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same in the beginning was God, was the Word, and all things were made by him, by him, by him, by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Yes. Is there a witness in the house? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He became flesh. And you talking about you gonna help the Lord out? Come on, girl. Come on, boy. He got all power in his hand. He spoke and worlds came into existence. He spoke and men were raised from the dead. He spoke and a few fish and loaves fed thousands. He is Lord. Don't talk about where have you laid him. He can take care of himself. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? He said, I better tell this girl that I'm still here. And he said, Mary. Mary. Has he called your name? Has he called your name? Mary. Oh, Mary. Oh, Mary. I'm alive, girl. Mary, I want you to tell the folks at Church of the Redeemer that I am alive. He's alive. Nix, he's alive. Am I right about it? Your enemies will become your footstool. He's alive. Am I right about it? When my enemies are all around me and they sit at the table, guess what, boy? Guess what? He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. He's alive. Let me hear you say it. He's alive.
Say it again. Say it again. Oh, 11 o'clock gotta come for me.